The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into this edition of ESPN FC alongside Craig Burley, Steve Nichol. I'm Sebastian Salazar. Great to have you along with us. In just a little bit, we'll be joined by Mark Ogden with the latest on some transfer possibilities ahead of the opening of the summer transfer window. But let's start with the Nations League. Wales hosting Netherlands. Game that finished in a 2-1 result. The Dutch coming out on top. Needed a late winner, though, from Wout Weghorst in the 94th minute to complete their victory over Wales. More on this, we welcome into the show Mario Melchiot. Mario, what did you think of your former team's performance?
Look, you know what the tricky part is? I'm sure that your chance next to you, I'm aware of that. You know, when you get the opportunity to take that chance when you're not playing that much, and I think that's why Van Gaal was protecting his team that he put out, because people were calling it here back home like a B team. He didn't want it to sound like that because he doesn't want to, you know, drop any down in the moral or in the sense of what his philosophies are. But these are clearly players that normally don't get the head start of the rest. And that's why he changed it in the second half. You could see some changes away from the Ligt, the Vrij. Those are the guys that normally have the chance. But, you know, Lang, he got a chance. He normally is one of the key players that people focus on because he's got his Ajax background, go to Club Brugge, won the league. So things like that, those kind of players are now trying to break through. Weghorst, we are more aware of because he plays at Burnley. But away from that, I'm saying like the team normally plays with slightly different players. And when you have people like what Depay, Bergwijn up front, it's a slightly different team than when you play with Weghorst because that's more like a center point for the team.
Netherlands, of course, smashing Belgium the other day, get a win over a tough Wales squad today. What do you think of this Dutch side?
This particular one we saw today was better than Wales, but then most teams are better than Wales. Wales are a stuffy team that somehow almost every time managed to get a result, at home in particular. Now, today they lost a goal with the last touch of the game, but yeah, they're just tough to break down. They're always at you, they don't lose that many goals. And so it's always going to be a tough time. So, you know, if you put your so-called B team out, and you do outplay the opposition away from home and you win the game, then you have to be positive about it. So it wasn't perfect that they won. It was away from home. And as Mario said, you know, somebody like Weghorst, who doesn't get much of a chance, if he takes it, then it can only be good for him and the team.
Craig, what about this Welsh side? They're awfully hard to beat.
Not at the Euros they weren't.
Really?
All right, they're hard to watch. But
they're hard to watch. They're all about Gareth Bale and being organised. And yeah, look, getting to the World Cup with the player pool that they've got is a pretty decent job. It's nice to see Brennan Johnson from Nottingham Forest getting some game time. But yeah, there's a lot of teams around, and I include, you know, out with England from the British Isles. We're talking about Scotland, we're talking about Wales, Northern Ireland, and then outside that, Republic of Ireland. They're all a hard watch. They've all got a couple of players, but not enough. England, on the other hand, and I said this yesterday on the show, I think should be playing a lot silkier football than they are with the player pool that they have available to them. And we don't often see that. I think with these teams, Stevie Clark with Scotland, Rob Page now with Wales, you know, you can only do so much with what you've got.
Are they favourites over the US in that group to advance?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
Oddsmakers have them as favourites over the US.
I don't particularly care. I don't think so. I think the US are energetic and young.
Maybe Stevie, what do you think?
Maybe with the experience and dog.
Who do you give the
Wales are not going to play out.
Question.
Wales are not going to outplay the US. No. Not that the US are great, but the Wales are not.
No,
but Wales didn't outplay anybody in Euros and they advanced.
Listen, we're always complaining about how the US don't possess the ball enough or well enough. But they'll possess the ball more than Wales will when they're playing them in the World Cup. So just because of that fact, you have to think that they'll create more chances than the Welsh. Mm. And of course, if something happens to Gareth Bale between now and the World Cup, then it's like cutting somebody's arm off for Wales. So I would suggest
he's already worried. See, that's the trouble with you. You're already thinking too far ahead.
Right. Mario, back to your Dutch side. 4-1 win over Belgium, obviously very impressive. Wales, not an easy team to beat. What do you think are your expectations for the World Cup? I mean, we can't help but go back to last year. Kind of shocking exit in the round of 16 at Euros. There we see the odds, 12-1 for Netherlands to win the whole World Cup. You like it?
No, you know what the thing is with us? I always say, like, we have great players. We are very talented. I think every tournament where we turn up, everybody is expecting a lot from us. But I think sometimes we got to go back to the basic, that we have to understand that it doesn't always have to be the best way of playing football. And I think sometimes we try to overplay ourselves by taking too much risk. And I think when it comes to big tournaments, I've been myself with Holland, so I experienced it by really close range. And when we look at it, it's just like that, because they feel I always have to win with beautiful football, but sometimes it's just purely business. Just win the games. And if we can understand that, and hopefully Van Gaal brings that to the team, then I'm not worried. But if not, it's going to take a long journey again.
Hmm. What do you think, Stevie?
I think the probably 12-1 is probably a bit right.
Yeah.
I look at all the other teams when you put that graph up. I wouldn't turn around and say that they are better than most of the other teams. Can they beat them? Yes. So, no, I think 12-1 is about right.
Yeah.
I think I'm a wee bit more hopeful than would have been a couple of years ago. I think when you see where some of the players are playing now, you saw De Jong talking about, it was a friendly last time out, but his preferred possession and how he can influence games more with Holland than maybe he can with Barcelona. We look at the experience they've got at the back. We're talking about Julian Timber possibly going to Man United at the weekend. We were talking about that. Then you've got De Vrij, you've got Van Dijk. There's a host of others. So they've got a lot of experience there. A lot of experience and some good talent as well. So I would be quite hopeful of a good World Cup. I just don't think they're strong enough to win it. But I'd be quite hopeful that they're going to be really, really competitive.
Go on, Mario.
No, what the guys highlighted clearly, that's a great understanding. The thing is also what Van Gaal did. The one that he turned things around before, and I think now he's going to go at it again. What is he's very good. I always say that about Louis Van Gaal is very good when it comes down to young players. That's why if you look at his side, they're very young, because I think when it comes to young players, they are more open to listen to his direction. When it comes to more seasoned players, it's kind of difficult. And that's why the team is very young. And I think he definitely can turn things around. And I think if the whole team believes in his philosophy, they can do really great things. And if not, it's just going to be like, one of those moments where you're fighting against something too big. And I think that could be the tournament.
Well, as we saw in the highlights, Dutch side, didn't have to deal too much with Gareth Bale today. Came on late. However, he was the subject of quite a bit of discussion after Angel Torres, who's the president of Getafe, had this to say. People might take it as a joke, but about 45, 50 minutes ago, I spoke to his representative, and they have offered him to us. Okay. For more on this, let's welcome in Gemma Soler. Gemma, give us the latest here, because we're also hearing some reports that this is not true at all. So what can we believe here?
Well said. It was such a surprise. There were rumors yesterday, but you know, Gareth Bale has been linked to many teams, from Juve and Chelsea to Cardiff, any team. So today it was a public act with the unveiling of Getafe's new t-shirt for the next season. And the president, Angel Perez, said that. No, it's not only true. I've been offered him less than an hour ago. So reporters asked, is he coming? Will he be joining it? Who is depending on that? And he said, it depends 50% on the kit meaning Gareth Bale, and 50% my opinion and the coach. That was, of course, sounding quite crazy, but as we know, Gareth Bale wants to be fit for the World Cup. He lives in Madrid, in one of the poshest neighborhoods in Spain, in La Finca. He has such an amazing home. So we said, okay, is this possible? And we start thinking about Getafe's economy. They are, of course, not playing in Europe next season, but they have sold three players recently and not signed anyone, Cucurella, Oguduro, and Olivella. But it looks difficult. They can make it to the salary Gareth Bale would be trying to have. So we called his agent, Jonathan Barnett, and he was quite clear. He laughed about that and he said, I don't even have the telephone number of Angel Perez, so this is impossible. And it was some kind of joke. So my opinion, Sepp, is that I think Angel Perez was trying to sell more T-shirts for next season or just being on the news today in Spain and in the world.
This would have been perfect, though.
Why?
Why is he going to come back to England? It's horrible. It's cold. Playing in some...
Is it just the Championship or anywhere in England you're saying?
No, what I'm talking about, he's got, obviously, as Gemma said, he's got a beautiful home in Madrid. Go and play for a local team. Keep your golf membership at the same golf club. It's the most important thing. And keep fit. And it's nice weather living in Spain.
What about the fact that they're 15th in the league?
I think we've already gone over that. It's a joke. I'm not being serious.
Well, I mean, the championship might be serious.
No, but I'm being serious. No, I don't buy the Championship because, honestly...
So what's
he got
do?
More chance of going to the Championship and missing the World Cup because they'll kick lumps out of you in that league, right? It's 46 games. Of course, he won't play anywhere near that. But they're playing Saturday or Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, and it's physical. I don't think he wants to. I don't think he wants any piece of that. But he's going to have to find something.
But that would be perfect.
What?
The taffy.
Oh.
Perfect for him.
Why?
Well, because this is a guy who hasn't kicked a ball all season. Did 20 minutes, something crazy all season. Hasn't played for 3 months, a proper game, except one game he played for Wales the other night. And so he's been on a training programme that's kept him fit enough to have an influence for Wales every time he's played. So whatever he's been doing, he's been able to get away with it and then supply when he steps on the field for Wales. So why not make it easy for yourself? Why do you want to go back to England anyway or go to Cardiff? Then all the spotlight's going to be on you. Get yourself to Getafe for 3 months. Who cares what the wages are? Just go and play. Listen, he's playing for the team in Wales that defend for the majority of the game anyway. So going and playing for a team that's 15th or 16th isn't going to change the way he plays for Wales. He'll do exactly the same. He'll have a free role. He can run around. If he doesn't fancy it one day, then it's only a 3 month job. Who cares? And he gets to stay at home.
Mario.
Never mind that. Is there any truth in the rumour that you're also looking at his home training programme as a personal fitness? Sorry.
Yeah, right.
Maybe shed a few. Maybe.
Well, the outcome of my personal training regime might not end up the same as his.
Mario, put yourself in the sporting director shoes there for a Getafe or a Cardiff. Do you want a player like this who's clearly so committed to Wales over club? And then on top of that, after the World Cup, who knows, you know, what you're going to get out of him?
Yeah, that's the key question. Definitely, you know, like after the World Cup. But I think the build-up to the World Cup, like the guys already highlighted, and Megan Bale is one of those guys that's thinking, like, I want to do so well at this tournament. This is going to be that moment where I can do something surprisingly for my nation. And to do that, the only way for him to do that is to play an amount of games and get himself to the fitness level that he wants to be. Because we all know, when we are players, one thing we love doing, we love a challenge. And if he can put himself in that position and challenging himself and saying, like, I want to be in the best form that I possibly can be right now, I'll go somewhere. But Getafe is a big question, guys. You're asking a player of Real Madrid that won so many trophies at that club, go to a team, it's almost like it's more complex for them instead of the other way around. And I don't know if Bale is going to be ready. The only answer to that will be, is there nobody else there? Then it makes total sense. But if there's somebody else, I think he should be looking at things where he can really compete.
This isn't
compete.
This isn't difficult, brains. You're asking about, what you love, you're asking about, oh, well, what about the risk after the World Cup? Just sign a 4 month contract or whatever it is.
Really? As a manager, you'd want that? A player who's just
Hey, I haven't finished yet.
Okay.
Just sign a 4 month, just sign a contract up to the World Cup.
Uh-huh.
If that's a problem for any club. Any club worried about, you know, bringing a player of his ilk in with an iffy attitude of late, I'm saying late, last couple of years, but has amazing ability. There's no risk, really, if you structure it correctly. But, you know, I don't think you can go through a Stevie Nicol home training regime between now and the World Cup.
No, he's got it.
That's going to work. I think he's got to have some game time.
Okay.
To be honest.
You're the same. He's got to play. He couldn't just basically repeat what
he said earlier. He hasn't been playing. He's had his own regime and he's still turning up and he's playing 60, 70 minutes and he's...
No, but he's been training. Soon. He's been training with the team. He's been training with the squad still.
Well, he hasn't.
He's not been sat in his backside at home watching TV and go, I'm going to go for a 20-minute run today.
Ancelotti came out a couple of weeks ago and said, because people will say, why can't he play him? And he said, because I look out the window on a Monday and he's not there. He's not there Tuesday. He turns up on a Thursday maybe and does a little bit of training. So
you know, the other thing is, about
what he says, then he doesn't do that.
I know Gareth
clearly goes on bikes or goes running or does something that is enough to get him 60, 70 minutes for Wales.
I know Gareth Bale's a big story, but I'm kind of missing something here.
Mm-hmm.
Outside Wales, who cares? They're not going to win the World Cup. They're not going to do anything at the World Cup.
Yeah, but mate, you know, no, but you want to play the World Cup? Come on, you're going to do your best, Greg. You
listen,
know yourself.
Mario, I get that.
You're going to play
Mario, I get that. It's not Messi. It's not Messi at Argentina, right? It's not Ronaldo.
No,
it's not Kylian Mbappe at France, right? It's not Frankie de Jong or Virgil van Dijk. It's Gareth Bale, whose career is effectively coming to an end, playing for a country that... And I've nothing against Wales before MD starts. First World Cup in 64 years. I don't give a bat in hell if he trains or plays or goes anywhere. It's not going to make a difference for Wales. Well, it's not going to make much of a difference. No?
But sometimes it comes down to your personal
Mario.
Glory too, eh? You don't agree with that? Your personal glory. You know, when you personally feel something, you go to a big tournament like that. Like maybe I'm highlighting myself too much in it, and I understand what you're saying. But when you can go to the World Cup, regardless if your country has been there so many times there, you still want to get your own little pride in it, in the sense of like, we all know he is the biggest player of that country at the moment, right? Everybody's going to lean on him. So the only way for him to really make a difference is coming there at the best level he can be at and try to produce the best he can. And if he doesn't do that, I don't see him not going for that. It makes no sense. I mean, I would ask myself, why do you become a footballer if you don't want to turn up as your best?
Mario, I think we all agree. Every single one of us would rather play leading into a World Cup final.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the sensible thing, it's the right thing, it's the smartest thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we're dealing with a completely different animal. This guy has been doing it without playing week in and week out. That was my point earlier.
Yep.
This guy's actually not one of us would even dream of not training or playing and thinking we got a World Cup in 6 months' time. We'd be like, there's no way. But this guy somehow managed to do it.
Gemma, before we get out of here, real quick, give us a solution to all this. It doesn't look like it's Getafe.
Stop talking about it.
You don't want Cardiff. You don't want him to go to MLS. So is there a team in Spain, Gemma? Maybe is there someone there that could take him if he wants to stay around Madrid?
But really, this depends on what he's expecting in the salary, because there are only three clubs that four could maybe pay him if he decreases his salary. But I don't think it's Getafe. Not only, yes, it's in Madrid, but the way of playing of Getafe, I don't know. He might be having minutes with Quique Sánchez Flores, but I mean, Coliseum, we call it going to the dentist, going to play to that stadium. So I'm not sure if it's the best option. For me, if I were Gareth Bale and his agent, Barrett, I would definitely pick Sevilla. I will be having a good coach, an amazing stadium, a club with history, living in probably the best city in Spain. So Sevilla could be an option. Why not?
Yeah, we have it. All right. Plenty more on Gareth Bale. You'll be thrilled to know in extra time.
Is there?
No, I'm
he's
kidding.
He's turning into the new Mbappe.
There he is.
It's a daily Bale show.
He's doing a one-on-one, you and him, you and Seb.
Yeah, Stevie, Craig,
you're just worried.
Mario,
you're just worried about the US, that's all.
Had to get it in there.
Good.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Darwin Núñez, 22-year-old Uruguayan striker coming off a great season at Benfica. As a result, he's been linked, among others, to Manchester United and Liverpool. To give us a further scoop, we welcome into the show, and in studio, too, what a treat, Mark Ogden. So it looks like United and Liverpool are right there. Who's leading the race?
I think United, because their need is greater right now. They desperately need a centre-forward. They need somebody that can take the pressure off Ronaldo, that can be a younger version of the guy that needs to be there long-term. I mean, Liverpool are interested, but I've been told they haven't put a bid in yet. They've still got Mane on the books. And let's be honest, Núñez is not a direct replacement for Sadio Mane. They've already got Luis Diaz, they've got Diogo Jota, they've got Salah, they've got Firmino. They're not short of attacking options. I think the sense is that Liverpool's interest is maybe being designed to smoke at United to put a little bit more in. I was told United were asked initially to pay €120 million, which is £100 million, which, and we saw his stats then, Núñez, they'd been great the last season, but the season before that, they weren't particularly outstanding. So is he a guy that's got something about him that's going to last the next 4 or 5 years, or is he a guy that's had a good season? There are a few doubts about whether he's grade A, but I think, you know, he's obviously scored a lot of goals for Benfica in the Champions League. So I think United are just ahead, but, you know, Liverpool is a more attractive destination, certainly.
So you're saying Liverpool haven't made a bid. Do you want to see him make a bid?
Yes, but not 100 million. He's not 100 million. Every single thing that he does is perfect for Liverpool. You know, the way he chases people down, the way he runs in behind. Just he's a workhorse. And I'm not talking about his ability, because you can see he scores goals and he can hold the ball up. So absolutely, I would love him at Liverpool. Mm-hmm. But I think he's another 50 million that they paid for Mane and Firmino and Salah. He's in that sort of range for me, because it's a big step up. He's not 100 million. Mm. Maybe you do half of it with some add-ons, but I would like to see him at Liverpool, though.
Mm. 6'2", scores goals with his right foot and his left foot, outside the box, inside the box, takes penalties as well. That helps. Ask Harry Kane. As Mark said, though, I mean, it was a really good season. The year before, not so good, but a big physical presence. We talked about this at the end of the season. I it's the same with Man City. People keep saying, oh, Man City, they won the league, failed in the Champions League. Liverpool failed in both in the end. People said, oh, they've got this front line, they can score goals. And then, well, why have they gone out and brought Haaland? What, to make them worse? No. So I think it could be the difference for Liverpool, having a player of that ilk, who, when teams defend deep, as they do against City and Liverpool, they need an option to throw things in the box as well. So not only is he, and if you look at some of the goals that Núñez scored, he scored some belters from outside the box, but he's good at attacking the ball as well in the box. But it all comes down to price. I mean, United need him more, Augie, but yeah. Well, I mean, if I was a player and I got a chance to go to Liverpool,
that's probably why United has to pay more to get him, yeah, right?
I think United's problem is that, yes, they desperately need a centre-forward, but they've also paid over the odds for a lot of players in recent years, so they don't want to make another mistake. And I think they're also being kind of caught up in their past mistakes, that they're really worried about making a mistake. So, and they've also got other issues to address. They need a midfielder. I mean, De Jong is an issue they want to address defensively. I mean, you could go through every position on the pitch and say they need that, that and that, but they really need a centre-forward. They probably need two.
Right, so are they bringing a centre-forward, whether it's him or somebody else, the new manager, what problem does that give him then with Ronaldo? Because, you know, having an unhappy Ronaldo around, or a £100 million player is not playing, neither of those two options are going to work.
Absolutely, but Ronaldo's 38 in February.
They have
to plan beyond Ronaldo, but Ronaldo was the guy that saved them so many times last season. But they have to get away from it. It's like a catch-22, isn't it? They have to get away from the scenario whereby Ronaldo saves them all the time. They can't play him all the time. And he has to accept that at his age, he can't play all the time. United putting all their eggs in that Ronaldo basket next season again.
Just no, I get
same,
that.
Same scenario. So Ten Hag's got to be tough and say, Cristiano, 20, 25 games a season next year, but they have to bring somebody in first because they can't rely on Martial, they can't rely on Rashford, they can't rely on any other options really apart from Ronaldo. But again, you know...
Most normal people would accept that. You know, you're saying that as if we're talking about a veteran of the game, been there, done it, seen it, who will understand that it's going to be 20, 25 games a season and they go, you know what, at 30 years old, that's actually not bad to be playing at the very highest level.
You know,
he's not going to accept that. Whether he's 48 or 38, he's not going to accept that. Sorry, you're not playing today. You think he's going to say, yeah, you're right.
But on the other hand, you can't...
You're actually doing it for me.
On the other hand, you can't have a transfer policy that worries about one player.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I mean, the best thing would be to get rid of Ronaldo. And it sounds like counterintuitive because he scored the goals last year, but if they could find a buyer or a taker for Ronaldo, just make the clean break now and have a bit of pain for 6 months, but... I mean, the argument is that had they not signed Ronaldo, that your Rashfords and your Sanchos and your Martials might have done better last season because the responsibility would have been greater on the three of them to score. But, you know, it's hypothetical, isn't it?
What do you think is the overall budget for this Manchester United rebuild? Because 100 million euros, 120 million euros, whatever this offer is going to be, that's a huge number.
Well, this is, the big question because they've already lost, what, 4 players on free transfers? Pogba, Cavani, Lingard and Mata, so they have to replace numbers. I mean, I've been told that the figure's going to be about 100, 120 million pound net. So they have to bring some money in. But who do they sell to bring some money in? Rashford, maybe? But then you're kind of weakening your attacking options again. They're in a real mess. Mm. Wan-Bissaka will probably go, but they're not going to get a lot for him. Maybe 10, 15 million. Yeah. So they're trying to create funds to sign players with not a lot to sell. They're in a really bad situation.
The budget will need to be a budget that bails them out of their own bad recruitment.
Right.
Do you know what United
needs
to do?
It's as simple as that.
United need to start finding players that are 10, 20 million pound players. Yeah, Andy Robertson, you know, the guy that like 8 million from Hull. They don't do that. They don't find smart buys. I can't think of the last time United signed a player that became a better player or a more valuable player having been at Man United. Mm. They've got to start doing that again.
But that's not going to change unless they make changes upstairs. And a lot of them. Because, I mean, you're sitting there saying that they're actually they're scared to speculate because of the mistakes they've made. I mean, what kind of place to start is that? It's tossing a coin.
But you can see the point, can't you? They have made so many mistakes and they've blown so much money on so many players that should have been good players but weren't. So they have made changes. Ed Woodward's gone. Some of the scouts have gone. You know, Richard Arnold's come in. John Murtagh's got more power now as a technical director of football. So this is their first summer that really had the chance to make a difference. But I look back to January when they really needed to bring somebody in. They didn't do. So... You do worry about United talking a good game and always not delivering the good game.
Well, on the plus side, they don't need a goal.
Well, they do. Because David De Gea is a guy that never comes out of his six-yard box. He's an outdated goalkeeper in the sense that Alisson and Ederson...
He had a great season, though, did he not?
But if...
Listen, amongst their problems, yeah. David De Gea is not even in the
picture. If you're a centre-half and you're playing with David De Gea or you're playing with Alisson Becker... You know that you can defend 10, 15 yards further up the pitch when you're playing with a keeper that comes off his line. And maybe that attracts more pressure. So another problem that United have got.
All right.
Oh, somebody paint a good picture.
They've got anything other than problems.
Oh, come on. Mr. and Mrs. Negative over here.
The cloud gets too dark over here. Let's move on from Manchester United, get back to Liverpool. Sadio Mane, apparently the latest offer from Bayern Munich has been rejected. What else can you tell us?
Well, the latest offer from Bayern Munich, this is... It's gone up to 30 million euros, and one of the add-ons, totaling 6.5 million, is that Bayern have to win the Champions League 3 times, and Mane has to win 3 Ballon d'Ors. That is a clause that's not going to
come. Is this April? Yeah, right.
Seriously, and Liverpool were kind of stunned by this because it's obviously not going to happen. It's an add-on that isn't going to happen. So Liverpool think that if Bayern want 50 million euros for Lewandowski, they should value Mane at the same figure because he's younger, he scores goals, so Bayern have got to come up with the cash.
I mean, I'm being serious. Is that serious?
Yeah. Well, it's serious, but it's not serious. But that is what Liverpool have received from Bayern Munich. The second offer is with add-ons, including 3 Champions Leagues for Bayern and 3 Ballon d'Ors.
Mane, with 1 year left on his contract, you still want him at Liverpool, or you think they should sell now and get something for him?
I think they should sell him. Get if they can get 40 million for him, I think you take it. Mm. I mean, you're almost getting back what you paid for him, and look what he's done for you. And as I've said previously, you can't keep everybody happy when the contracts are coming up, because you just can't. There's just not enough money, so you have to make decisions. And the fact that you've still got Salah, and you've got Jota, you've got Diaz, you've still got Firmino, you probably need to replace him, makes it a lot easier to turn around and say, OK, we'll take 40 million for Mane.
The big problem though with Liverpool is that suggests that Salah might stay, they might persuade him to stay, but if he's got a year in his contract, Salah could do what Messi did, he could run it down, and next summer say, you know, I've had a great time at Liverpool, but you know, I've played in Switzerland, I've played in Italy, I want to go somewhere else now, I want to try something else. If they lose Salah and Mane in the space of 12 months, then that is a problem.
Sounds like they're pretty far apart. Do you think it'll get done or eventually break apart?
Who's Salah?
No, Liverpool and Bayern Munich on
I think not off his Ballon d'Ors.
I think it'll get done. I think because Mane wants to go, I think it'll get done. I think they'll find a compromise. But at the minute, it's just joke offers, and it's Liverpool saying, we're not playing that game.
All right, plenty more on potential transfers. Again, the transfer window opens on Friday over on our ESPN FC YouTube channel. That's right. June 10th, Craig. I'm sure it's well marked on your calendar.
For golf, yes.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Big news for Real Madrid, the defending Spanish and European champions, signing Luka Modric to a one-year contract extension. The 36-year-old will be on the books at Real Madrid through next June. For more perspective on this, we welcome back to the show Gemma Soler. Gemma, what's the reaction been in Madrid?
Well, pure happiness. You know, Real Madrid is a club well known for not letting their stars get old. We have legends, recent examples like Cristiano Ronaldo, Sergio Ramos, Raul, Iker Casillas, even Marcelo this season. He wanted to stay, the player who has won more trophies, and he couldn't. But even though this player, Modric, he is 36, he has played such an extraordinary season. And he's one of the main reasons, I think, of Real Madrid's success. We've been told that his contract was agreed very easily. It has been official earlier this week, but the agreement it was reached shortly. And this is because he's not only every coach's dream, but I think every president's deal because he was not very worried about the extension of the deal. As a comparison, Sergio Ramos was trying a big class contract, like at least a two-year deal. And Luka Modric is happy renewing year by year. He didn't care that much about the money. He already made a lot of money. So I think he's becoming one of the biggest legends in Real Madrid. Actually, he has won 20 titles in a decade, in 10 years. He loves the game. He loves playing. So I think it's a dream come true for supporters, for the president, and of course, for Carlo Ancelotti.
To Gemma's point about Real Madrid not usually hanging on to guys too long. I mean, he's 36. Yeah. This is a real easy decision.
Does Florentino Perez just sit in that boardroom 24-7 hoping that Kylian Mbappe is going to walk through the door?
Or hoping for another photo up.
And sign. Or maybe some Super League is going to come along. But no, I remember covering him when he was at Tottenham and he was a very good player. But I never thought for a minute he would become even better. He's become a brilliant player. You know, a decade plus at Real Madrid, you know, has carried the can along with Rakitic for Croatia and others, and still does it, still doing it. But yeah, to have the career, and I think when he first came into Real Madrid, he wasn't exactly the apple of the eye of the fans. He's under a bit of pressure, which is not easy. A lot of players can crumble when that happens to you, but he didn't. And he's a little magician with the ball. I mean, you're right, it makes... it makes total sense because he's 36, but he's still fit. He can pass the ball for fun. He doesn't pick up too many injuries. Why wouldn't you sign him on another year?
Is there some risk here, Stevie, not just with Modric, but with Casemiro and Kroos, that they could lean on that trio too long? You could almost... No?
No risk whatsoever.
Why not?
Well, because you've got...
Well, signed other players.
You've already got Camavinga. So okay. It looks like Tuchem is going to be coming.
Tuchem is gone.
And in all honesty, if Modric never signed a deal or never played another game for the next 12 months, the fact his presence at the club and in the dressing room and around the training field is going to be absolutely incredible. Yes, Real Madrid have got some experienced guys, but they've got three or four really good young guys who potentially could be absolute superstars. And if I'm the coach, I want a guy like Luka Modric around the place. Mm. He'll talk to them. And it's not like you have to ask this guy to help. He'll just do it naturally. So he'll do it on the field, he'll do it off the field, he'll bring the young guys along, he'll still win you more trophies. Absolute no-brainer. Mm.
Mario, how much longer can Real Madrid lean on this big three in the middle of the park?
I'm just, picking up what all you guys said, even what Gemma highlighted, what was the key things? His fitness, man. He's so fit. When you see a player at that statue, being that fit at that age, I'm actually happy that age doesn't become a key thing anymore, because people always try to say, oh, you're 36, your career is finished. But clearly, he's proving himself every single game. If we look at this season only, and this is like, his last season, the way he played, some of the balls that he played, I would say some people out there can only do it with their hands, and even that's going to be difficult, what he does with his feet. So at that point, I'm saying well-deserved. It's also normal. And like you guys highlighted, everybody would take him because the guy is just like a genius. He sees things that some will take, like even me when I was playing. Some of the things he sees, I'm like, still till today, and I'm already 45. I'm saying how did he see that? Because he's that good. And I like that. I'm like, come on, man, give me some of your eyes. No, so yeah, I totally agree with it. And I think for the young boys that are coming there, you're only happy to have someone like that around you, because how great will it be to learn from one of the guys that lived it and is still living it, that can add some ability to your quality, in the sense if you show him respect, I'm sure he will be open to show you some of the ropes that you need to push your career further.
You mentioned some of the new players that Real Madrid has brought in. You think next season is when one, two, or three will break into that midfield, or do you think at the end of next season we're talking about that three?
I think next year they might not play as many games, those three.
But they'll be
played a lot of games, by the way. They played a lot of games.
Yeah, he played 45 games.
Not just him, Casemiro, Kroos. They all played a lot of games. I mean, there wasn't a lot of rotation in that Real Madrid team. There was at the end, but there wasn't a lot. There was one or two injuries, and then Ancelotti saw who came in and went, well, I think we'll go back to the old guard here. We need to get them fit. But I think we'll gradually see it. We saw Camavinga playing more of a role. Tchouameni, we've seen him playing for France. Obviously, they're spending a lot of money on him. And I thought Valverde, as the season went on, was brilliant. So I think we'll see a little bit of a hybrid where Ancelotti manages the more experienced players in a good way, which means they don't have to play every week. And guess what? That's quite a good scenario to be when you're in your mid-30s.
Plenty more on Real Madrid and everything else from La Liga on the latest edition of the ESPN FC podcast, available wherever you download your pods. Just search the ESPN FC feed.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, that'll never, do it for this
ever,
edition.
Ever happen.
Of ESPN.
Am I putting you off?
You're just a little bit, but that's par for the course.
Could be just
Craig. Yeah, exactly.
Mr. Negative.
He's Stevie, I'm Seb. Thanks for watching. Extra Time is next. Hey there, everybody. Welcome into this edition of ESPN FC's Extra Time. On a day I'm told I'm being very negative by Craig Burley, of all people.
Yes.
Imagine that.
Picky.
Picky? Me? Yeah. Never. Craig, Stevie, Mario with us as well.
Not
we got
listening.
Your questions.
Not listening. Not that you ever listen. Not listening.
You're accusing me of not listening to you.
No, and everybody.
I'm sorry, Craig. Mario, what do you think will be the top
How come
three?
Mario's normally in a place where he's got a nice background?
Are you going to complain about everything?
Shut up. And then today, where is he today? In the kitchen? Where are you today, Mario?
Hey, listen, I will not show you my living room, but my friend, I'm just enjoying my life. Don't hate on it.
It's well lit. That's all.
What we call him now? He's not Mario Freebie. He loves a freebie.
Wow. He was working at the Champions League final.
Was he nothing?
Did you see him?
What? Did I see him?
Was you at the Champions League final?
Yeah, they sent me too.
They sent
you? Oh, you were going to be so offended that
no,
they
I'm
sent
not.
Me. Yes, you were.
I thought they might have sent you in Herc.
And that really would have offended you?
Because it must have been an American angle somewhere. You'd have found one, wouldn't you?
I would have found it. Mario, who do you think will be the top three of Ballon d'Or this year?
Oh, my God.
It's a bit early, isn't it?
That's a bit, yeah. You're calling me. Oh, my God. Okay, let me kick off then. Benzema, my number one. Mm-hmm. And I think my number two and my number three. I don't even have to think. I'm sorry, my friend.
easy way to get out of an answer. Just answer one name for all three. You got a top three for Ballon d'Or since it's your favorite?
No. That's an even easier way to get out of an answer, isn't it?
Yeah, just don't answer that. Plead the fifth.
What's a reasonable amount to spend on a birthday cake, in your opinion? Would you spend $200 the other night?
He didn't spend it.
Yeah, I did spend.
No?
I would suggest something like $75 would be okay.
It depends how many people you're feeding, right? What was the size of the birthday party? I don't think you talked about that on the show last time. Was it like 30?
Well, he was involved. Granddaughter's birthday, but the size of the party makes no difference to my wife. I would suggest for a really good cake, like nicely decorated, I think $75 is ample.
Wow, okay. What's your cake budget?
15.
Yeah, you go down to the local supermarket, Bish Bash Bosh, chocolate cake. Yep. I'm expecting two for $20.
Hey, wow. I don't want to be your granddaughter.
It's a cake, isn't it?
Hey, Mum, Grumpy's coming. Look at that, he's got one of these rubbish cakes again.
What was on the cake? What was the design that was so unique that was expensive?
You know, you might know nothing about this. This actually might be out now. So there's a kid's toy, it's called the Popper.
Mm-hmm.
So you just pop the things and it's all the colours of the rainbow.
Oh, okay.
So that was the design
of it. So that was what was on it.
Seb, yeah. Don't go down that road.
It's the design you're paying for. You're paying for the cake.
I got it.
Seb, you're batting down the
road. Even he can make a cake.
You're batting down the wrong alley. You're talking to the number one cake specialist in America.
I am now.
That man can, he can...
I know it used to be.
Mow it down.
Oh, I mow it down, taste a cake. He can tell what price a cake is by one... spoonful. One piece of that cake and he'll get it down.
Yep. It's like the taste test.
I don't like
You're like the sommelier.
I don't like
the
cake.
Wine what do you mean you don't like
I don't
cake?
Like
you
it.
Don't get that size.
Don't listen to
you
all
don't
this.
Like cake.
See all this power. All this nonsense.
If you don't like cake, the next time I have a birthday on this show and everyone forgets my cake, maybe you bring some leftovers from home?
Next you'll be telling everybody you're dining out on salad.
Yeah. Craig and Stevie.
Look at that.
This
look at, have a look in that camera.
Well,
the picture of health sat next to me.
Oh, listen, I understand there's a couple of extra chins of a beard. I'm working on it.
Wisdom. Craig's bleached blonde hair asks, Craig and Stevie, why are you both so dismissive of the US team against England. You don't think the US has a chance to edge out England?
Hold on.
This is from Sebi Salazar FUT.
Hold on. Who said, when have I talked about this?
I don't know. What do you think the US chances are against England then?
I haven't even broached this subject.
So what are they?
This is paranoia 2.0 already.
It would seem to be somebody that watches the show though.
When have I talked about the US v England?
US v England, what are their chances?
Well, you're trying to get the right answer out of me.
I'm just trying to get an answer out of anybody because you are also right able to deal with.
I'll ask you another way.
Let's be honest here, right? How many of the US team get in the England team?
Don't even say it.
Joel.
Don't even say it.
So that's all you need to say.
The answer is no. Before Andy starts, he's not getting in the England team.
Mario, come on. You live in the US. Does the US have any chance against England?
You know what the thing is? On the day of the game, when I look at England, every season they go through the same thing, and America's every season try to create an upset. But I still think England will win.
There it is.
They got a chance. So.
Yeah, puncher's chance. I like it. Mario, who is the most promising Dutch talent that you see moving from the Eredivisie to England or Spain this year?
I mean, look, we're talking about De Jong, you know. That would be a very talented. I mean, I know he's young, he might not go through that deal, but I think that could be a great talent for us to see go through because he's coming from, okay, not from the Eredivisie directly, really quickly, but he still had a big jump. Who else do we have? It's always crucial, you know, when the guys go. I always ask myself, if they can handle the pressure of, because it's always been proven that our league in Holland is very small. And I think the big advantage and the big dream starts when you leave the ocean to go somewhere else. And when you are capable to do that, make that step, that's when the journey really happens, I think, as a football player. And I think that's why they're being tested. But if I highlight, look, De Jong is one of the key things that he went from the Eredivisie to Spain.
Should De Jong go to Man United?
I'm worried about that. You know why? Because the only thing why I'm worried about it is, look, the coach knows him well, but if the coach thinks too quickly that he can play the same system like he plays at Ajax, really quickly at Man United, he's going to get a big shock because I think Man United, as the size of a club, is a lot bigger than when you look at Ajax.
Nadim's interior decorator for Stevie and Craig. How many of your trophies honors that you guys won in your respective careers would you trade in for Scotland to reach at least the semifinals
None.
Of the World
Zero.
Cup?
No.
Nothing. Not
Is
a
there
sauce.
Anything that
Not
you would give up?
Middle of the donut.
Charity Shield.
Nothing.
Charity Shield medal. There you go.
That's it?
Charity Shield medal. What's wrong with that?
Craig's...
Why would we be... I'm not even going to go there.
You love.
I'm not even going to.
I remember a wee last year during Euros.
Really?
Vividly. Don't you? Don't you?
He did. No.
You did, sir.
Somebody find the tape on that.
You did, sir.
I'm refusing.
Because I laughed when I heard you.
No.
Mario, this is again from Craig's Bleach Blonde Hair. Mario, who is the best Dutch player you gotten to play with on the national team? Wow. That's a list, huh?
That's a quick one. I will, on a national team, I had one player, Ronald de Boer. He helped me out when I was a young kid coming into the first team. And I think he did a lot of wonders for me because he was playing in front of me. And it was one of the players, whenever I was in trouble, he always said to me, don't worry about it. We will figure it out together. And I felt like he was always there for me, no matter what the situation would be. So that's why I would say Ronald de Boer was very helpful in my beginning of my career.
You want to tell us about some of that trouble you were getting in?
Yeah, not that kind of trouble. What you're thinking? I'm talking about, like, you know the moments when you hold the ball and you see 2-3 players coming at you and you're like, what am I going to do next? Okay, one thing you learn at Ajax, you don't kick the ball out of, you know, any problem you're in, you try to keep the ball in the team. And he would say, just play it to me. But, you know, sometimes you see a player with being marked so tight by a player. And there was only one player I ever saw in my career that could turn away from anybody. Okay, away from Paul Nedved. He did it to myself. and Figo, I think he did it too. But Ronald de Boer had a trick. I don't know how he did it, but he always managed to move left, saw the defender going left, and he turned the opposite side or the other way around. And I felt like, yeah, he was good at that. So that's how he got me out of trouble.
There it is, from Craig's bleached blonde hair.
Don't remember those days, see?
No. Speaking of bleached blonde hair, did you see Christian Pulisic's new look?
I saw it, yeah.
Yeah, what did you think?
What was this?
He's got a...
blonde?
We call it in the UK, we call it streaks.
Okay, yeah, it's kind of like frosted.
Highlights.
Yeah, frosted, but it's like shaved kind of into a mullet now. It's really a look.
That's not a good shame, is it?
No. Hey, you gotta look cool.
Each to their own, huh?
Yeah, everybody, sometimes people do weird things before a World Cup, like dye their hair blonde,
well, wasn't,
knock their teeth out.
It was during the World Cup, not before.
Okay,
I wouldn't do anything stupid before.
All right, we will be back tomorrow. ESPN FC, never miss a show. We're available
for
7 days a week on
ESPN
Plus.
Try and be more positive tomorrow.
To your relief, I am not.
Neither am I.